Hey, buddy, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian. I'm joined by Matt Men's very own Belschnickel, Rich Stambolian.
What's up, Poppy? How you doing?
What's up, Poppy? Belschnickel. Do you know about Belschnickel?
No, tell me. What's that?
Belschnickel is a huge thing in Pennsylvania Dutch country. The German Santa. There's a fascinating... It's Santa's cranky cousin, essentially. And what he does, if you've been a good boy, he has like a saying. It was funny in The Office. I know you don't like The Office, but it's funny in The Office. They had a whole thing about this. And Belschnickel's job is to remind the little ones that they still have little time before Santa arrives. And if they've been bad, I think he like kidnaps them and like stores them away.
And like a Krampus.
You're a Krampus, yeah.
I'm the well, I did recently start doing methamphetamine, so...
Oh, okay, that's it. There you go.
I've been really angry at everybody.
No. You're talking about crumping. You've been crumping. welcome to Matt Men. Guys, this is a Christmas Eve show. Yesterday, we had the honor of interviewing Josh Alexander from Impact Wrestling, which was an awesome, awesome interview. It should be up on the website right now. If you go to gfknetwork.com, you can check it out there. Also on the podcast RSS, it's available there. We did a watch-along on Sunday. A lot of fun watching TLC. Made the show even better. I want to talk about that show because I actually liked a lot of things that people hated. And I liked it for the entertainment purpose, but we'll talk about that. And we have a gigantic story here for the show, the future of the show. I think it's perfect timing at the end of the year. We kind of discuss where the show is headed. I think we could all agree that the show... is at that point that it's either, you know, either we're going to stay doing this or slow down a little bit, or we're going to go to the next level. And I think Rich and I are going to discuss what the plan is for the show. I am, however, wearing my my celebratory short shorts today, Rich.
Very nice, man.
I am. I'm in the Christmas mood.
The Andrew Booty shorts. I got the hat off. It's so hot.
Is it bad? I was, you know what's funny? I just texted Jess. I'm like, Rich is wearing a Santa hat. I'm curious how long it's going to stay on.
2 minutes. It got very hot in there.
I did the same thing this morning. I put a hat on and I had like 5 minutes. I was like, I'm done. I can't do this.
It's 1,000 degrees outside too.
It is. So where do you want to begin? We had TLC. Let's do a quick review of TLC.
Sure.
Watching it together is a very different experience than watching it by myself. And here comes my son. Hold on. Little cameo here. Say hi. Say hi. Yeah, I think, Rich, why don't you go into TLC while I get him out of the studio?
Sure. Guys, we did a little watch along for TLC on Sunday night. It was a lot of fun. We took a lot of callers, and we ended up enjoying it a whole lot. I haven't watched it back, so I don't know if my thoughts approving the show transcended into the actual show. Sometimes when you're watching with your friends, you get a couple of beverages in you. Everything is awesomer than it is on TV.
It is 100%.
Do you want to quickly just go down the card?
Yeah, I forgot to lock the door, and he came in. He goes, "Daddy, I want my presents."
Did he have a knife in his hand?
Yeah, he had a knife in his hand and a gun. Just both. Both. We started off the show with the kickoff show. Mm-hmm. It was an 8-man tag match, which I actually enjoyed this. It was a nice group of people, and you can kind of see these guys are going to be profiled a little bit more this year. You had Big E, Chad Gable, Daniel Bryan, and Otis defeating Cesaro, Spencer Corbin, the Bald Truth. It's his cousin. And Shinsuke Nakamura with Sami Zayn. They won via pinfall. I thought it was a fun match. Nice opener to kick off the pay-per-view for the pre-show. The first match, however, which I was surprised, was the WWE Championship match, ladder match, between Drew McIntyre and AJ Styles. But we did get a surprise, Rich.
Yes, The Miz ended up cashing in his Money in the Bank and inserted himself into the match. Again, I agree with you. Surprise for the first like actual bout on the pay-per-view, and it went 27 minutes.
Yeah, I really liked this match.
It was fun.
Yeah, I really, really liked this match. Whenever you see a big guy like Drew doing a ladder match, you kind of like it's interesting, right? Because I don't like seeing big guys in ladder matches. Like, I never want to see Kane in a ladder match.
Right.
Like, I don't want to see him in a Money in a Bank ladder match. I don't want to see The Undertaker in a ladder match. Like, these bigger guys, like Kevin Nash, should never be climbing a ladder. It just looks weird.
Yeah.
But I think for this purpose, like, I think because Drew is so athletic, I didn't have that feeling. And these guys really worked hard. The Miz tried to cash in. We kind of called the ending before on the watch along. Failed cash in attempt. Drew wins the match, defeating AJ Styles. Great. I mean, great match. Really loved it.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good match. The card was nice and quick, too. So, you know, after that, you had Sasha Banks beating Carmella. 12-minute match. She beats Carmella by submission. I did say Carmella was going to win, but then I remembered, oh, Sasha Banks was just on The Mandalorian, so they're not going to have her lose.
Best match Carmella's ever had?
I think so. Absolutely.
Right? I would say so. I think Carmella looked like $1 million in this match. I mean, a lot of it, she has improved tremendously, for sure. Lot of it, 100%. A lot of the credit definitely goes to Sasha as well, because she's phenomenal.
Carmella, if we could talk about Carmella for like 2 seconds,
let's do it.
So she's always struck me as a super interesting talent, because it seems like she can take what she's given and really roll with it. I thought she was going to be in trouble a couple of years ago when WWE bounced Enzo and Cass, because she was like the third part of that group, right? And then ended up turning herself into like the Mella is Money stuff, and that worked, and then the R-Truth stuff really worked, and then they put her on the shelf for a while, and now she's got the character, could breathe a little bit, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Let's go. Hurt Business defeated the New Day by pinfall to win the Raw Tag Team Championship. Now, the Hurt Business has 3 titles. They have the U.S. Championship and the Raw Tag Team Championship. This is the first tag title that I believe Shelton has held since 16 years. Really cool. I mean, you know what though, that guy was, something interesting happened with him. There was, so watching him, like, that generation that came in the 2000s, he was one of like the big names. People had high hopes for him.
They went forward, they pulled back,
and a lot of it had to do with his promo ability, right? He's not the best promo, but he doesn't need to be. The dude is gigantic, super athletic. Unbelievable.
Well, he also was in WWE at a time where there were a lot of good promo guys.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The early 2000s, you know, early mid 2000s. He was around the best of the best. You had Asuka.
Right.
You had Asuka and Charlotte defeating Nia and Shayna Baszler for the Women's Tag Team Championship. Charlotte was a surprise knew on the internet. It was a fun match. Okay, fine.
I thought it was gonna be champions. Goldberg.
Obviously, this is probably going to lead into a match between Charlotte and Asuka, which we saw them kind of teasing that on Raw.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that TLC match. Roman Reigns defeating Kevin Owens to retain the Universal Championship. I got to tell you. Okay. Here's where I start having problems.
Okay.
It was a fun match. They did great. But my God, the interference after interference after interference. It was a handicap ladder match. That's what it was, right?
Absolutely.
It was a handicap match that, and it makes you wonder, and this is such a WWE thing. The baby faces have no friends, right? I'm starting to sympathize with the heels. I actually think that the heels are better human beings now, because they're able to maintain a relationship where people actually care for them and want to support them, while the baby faces all suck, they're all selfish, and nobody's supporting anybody.
You kind of hit the nail on the head with programming also, because it seems like AEW has taken the opposite approach in the last few weeks, where people have buddies backstage and they come out to help them. WWE abandoned that concept a very long time ago.
Yeah. And I don't understand that. Like, you know what? Kevin Owens has to have some friends. He's a baby face, right?
Right.
He's a face. Like, who could come out? Mm-hmm. Anybody could come out. Daniel Bryan could have come in and done a run in and helped them.
Sammy Zane?
On that other team, Sammy? Well, who? Sammy's a heel, but
I know. But,
I mean, but anybody. I don't care. Anybody. You know why? Why? I don't understand that logic that the baby faces have no friends and all the heels have all the friends.
Mm-hmm.
I think the heels are just better at maintaining relationships. That's what it means. Listen, the match was fine, but it was such a schmoz where you're like, okay, there's no chance here. Right? There's no possibility.
Right. But I think, again, it adds to this this dynamic of the Roman Reigns character. And it doesn't, it still doesn't take anything away from Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens has proven himself to be like a top guy over and over again. You know,
this is, I mean, this Roman character is probably one of the best handled character changes in the last decade for this company.
Oh, absolutely.
Like him and it's so perfect.
Yeah, him and The Fiend, you know, like, say what you want about The Fiend, about, like, a lot of people complain about him and Bray Wyatt, but, again, that's one of those things, that's one of the things where I don't get, you know?
So let's go into this.
Sure. Let's go.
We had a Firefly Inferno match, Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt, The Fiend. So they did something interesting with this. Parts of the match were cinematically produced prior. Right. The other parts were actual live. The ones that you could actually tell when it was cinematically shot based on Bray's eyes, because he had contact lenses in the pre-produced segments. They did some crazy crap on this. I mean, like, really crazy stuff. I enjoyed watching it. The match could have not used the final dousing of Bray with fire. I mean, listen, I know what their point was with it, but it was like it reached a point where, okay, you just set the man on fire. Like, not. Like, really, you doused him with gasoline, and you lit a match, and he engulfed in flames in the middle of the ring. Okay, so you killed him. Is this, you're killing him like how you would kill The Undertaker, and he would show up in 2 months, or did you kill him and he's showing up next week?
Ooh, that's tough, man. That's a tough call, because they, obviously, they did it for that visual, and the visual of Bray Wyatt on fire, lunging after Randy Orton, fantastic.
So
right?
I asked somebody there that exact question that you just brought up. You said it's the visual. The visual was the second reason why they did it. It wasn't the first. Like, you would imagine, like, well, they want that big visual at the end, right? It was the second reason. The reason why they did what they did is to tell you and reiterate the fact that Randy Orton is the most vile human being that company has ever had on the roster. He's the biggest heel. He's the biggest piece of shit. Nobody's worse than Randy Orton for the purpose that except one guy could beat him, and that's Edge.
Okay. I like that setup. That's smart. That's a smart setup.
Yeah, it's been the story of Orton for how long, you know?
Wins and losses also don't help or hurt The Fiend. Like, it doesn't matter.
So far, yeah. So far.
You know?
He
did lose to Goldberg, and honestly, he recovered from that super quick.
He did. He recovered from that, and he also recovered from the terrible Seth Rollins angle. That kind of fell flat on his face. Listen, I like the character. I think it's really interesting. The concept of Bray, they like this character, and I see that this is a longevity, you know, the longevity of the Bray Wyatt character, the Fiend character, it could go on for 20 years, and I really wouldn't complain seeing him come out to the ring. It's less about the match. It's more about the overall presentation of this. And I get it. I just don't know how you book him going forward. Like, is it that he's just indestructible? You could beat him in a match, but you're never beating him, you know, as a whole, because he's just a creature of the night. I don't know.
I think so. I think you're onto something. It would be cool if at some point the storyline goes that he's you can beat him in the ring, but he's fundamentally unbeatable unless you, and then down the line, do something where it's like, you need a silver bullet. You need, like, his birth certificate. You need.
Yeah. I like the silver bullet thing.
Like a funky carrot or something, you know?
A McMahon sword, you know, something.
Yeah, something. And then you put those items together, and that's how you beat Bray Wyatt or The Fiend or whatever. You know,
The
silver bullet thing's awesome.
You know what I want to see? A Highlander character. Not the Highlanders, the tag team from the 2000s. A Highlander character. Yeah, an immortal that you just got to decapitate him, right?
Undertaker, I think, was close.
Undertaker was, yeah, he's an immortal, right?
Yeah, because I don't know, like, one of my favorite matches of all time, the casket match where he gets buried and then shows up on the screen and then ascends.
No. They lit him on fire. They didn't bury him.
Yeah, well, they put him in the casket.
Yeah, they put him in the casket.
Yeah,
but
you
know what, though? How much different is that from what they're doing with Bray right now, right? It's not that much different. I mean, I saw everybody complaining about it. I'm like, yeah, but dude, they buried The Undertaker alive. They put him in a casket. It took like 80 people to kill him. They lit it on fire. And then he magically levitated to the sky like Jesus. Well, and then he disappeared.
They could also turn, if they really want to twist Drew's character, since he already does come out and he's a Scottish Highlander. He's got the Claymore.
Yeah, do
if
it.
If they make him immortal.
I love it.
That would be amazing. And you just have 10 years of Immortal Drew versus the Immortal Fiend in the epic battle of good and evil.
You know what I want to see? Hulk Hogan's a Highlander, I'm sure, right? He's immortal.
He's the Immortal Hulk Hogan.
He is the Immortal Hulk Hogan. You know how you beat him? You got to cut his hair. You got to cut his hair.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No! And then he just turns into a pumpkin.
Can you fantasy book, instead of Hogan using the word brother, he used the word Poppy?
Oh, man. Let me tell you something, Poppy. Come here, my man. You know what? I want it to be Poppy. Poppy all the time. Someone needs to do that. Someone needs to do the whole Hulk Hogan redub as Poppy. And then let's go into Raw really quickly. It was an show. It wasn't a terrible show.
All right.
It wasn't a great show. It wasn't terrible. Nothing really happened. Charlotte was featured in the first segment. I thought that first segment, Charlotte's a really good talker. Asuka is something very special because she's just a lunatic. You know what really bothered me? Shayna and Nia's promo. The way that it's so unnatural. And I've been watching a lot of older Raws, right? Like, I've been watching a lot of older promos and stuff. I went down a Terry Funk promo, you know, rabbit hole the other day. And I'm like, my God, this was so freaking believable, right? I mean, this guy looked like a badass. I believed what he was saying. And then I just went through, like, different types of promos and different conversations. Like, I watched, it was Bruno and it was Piper in 87, okay, at the Garden. And Bruno was, you know, our generation doesn't really know how great this guy was because he was on the outs with Vince. And at that time, WWE didn't immortalize the legends like they do today.
Right.
And he cuts this unbelievable promo. He's like, I'm from New York. I'm Italian. This is my town. New York is my town. I'm Italian. The crowd is going nuts. And he starts wailing on Piper. I'm like, my God, this is believable. And then you have the other opposite of Shayna and Nia doing a segment out of the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Yeah, you know what? I think this is the exact, and not to like gripe on it too much, because that's not what we do, but this is that opening promo between everybody in the ring was the perfect example of Charlotte reading a script and using it to get her point across and being a great talker. And then Nia and Shayna and then Mandy and Dana coming out and reading the words that it seems like they were reading the words they were given verbatim, and there were a bunch of jokes in there, but the jokes didn't land at all.
They just
delivered them as a speech, you know. And when that happens, I think that's a problem because, like, you know, somebody should say, like, hey, all right, this is a joke, take a beat, deliver the joke, give the icky to the camera or whatever, you know. I think that's where you kind of get like the too many cooks in one kitchen and the end result is something just awkward, because that was like an awkward moment, right?
It was very awkward.
Them came out to the ring and they were saying something along the lines that Nia is Rudolph and she's got a red nose or something, but it made zero sense.
It made no sense. It is what it is. What are you going to do? Hurt Business beat Riddle and Jeff Hardy, not Matt Hardy. He wrote Matt Hardy here.
Oh, man.
It's Jeff, MGG. Wrong company.
Mr. Gonzo.
Gonzo. There you go.
He's changing the Jeff to a dirty word right now.
So Riddle and Jeff Hardy were a tag team. Riddle has like a new character now, which is, dude, what an amazing... Rich is changing the notes now. That's hysterical. I thought it's, I don't know, man. That guy's so talented and they've done nothing with it, you know? They've turned him into this, he's a bizarro RVD of 2020. Yeah. That's really what it is.
He's their RVD. Without, you know, RVD got over on his own. In
420,
ECW.
Bro. You know, like that's the only thing missing.
Exactly. He wasn't a WWE. RVD was never a WWE creation. So now they have somebody who they can mold into their version of RVD. A guy who can do MMA, who loves to smoke weed, you know. Do you think Riddle came into the company at the perfect time where it looks like marijuana use is going to be legalized across the board at some point?
Well, that's why he wasn't there for a couple of years. He was in Evolve and he was doing all this stuff, but WWE wanted him for like two since they saw him, when was it, 2016? Since then, they've wanted him.
Yeah.
MG Geek is going to publish these, by the way, the notes.
Change them back.
Yeah. There you go. Randy Orton and Alexa Bliss segment. That was where Alexa's on a, I don't know, she's like a 10-year-old kid. A lot of people had a problem with that. Yeah. They were taking that as like a sexual thing, which I didn't see. I don't know. That was the whole thing. Miz Morrison and AJ Styles versus Keith Lee, Drew McIntyre and Sheamus.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And I was done with it. That was it.
I was done with it.
Yeah.
For a 3-hour show, right?
You want to just go down NXT really quick?
Yeah, absolutely. Killing Dane, Drake Maverick versus Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch in a championship street fight. Oney Lorcan and Burch retained. You had Jake Atlas versus Swerve. Swerve wins. Rhea Ripley versus Dakota Kai. Rhea and Raquel Gonzalez had a nice pull apart. I kind of really want to see them go at it. I feel like this is their
big time.
This is their Undertaker versus Giant Gonzalez.
Yeah, well, you know what it is like. It's rare to get two, you know, women of that size. You know, muscular, tall.
Gigantic, yeah.
You know, good looking women. You know, I'm not saying it as a knock. But
this is a
WWE dream match, you know, like, oh, look,
Amazons.
They both have the Amazons. There you go. The Amazons. Listen, it's going to be a nice brawl between the two. So I'm looking forward to that.
I also get very happy whenever I see Rhea Ripley on screen. There's something about her that I've always really liked.
Yeah, she's great.
You had a Gargano Christmas segments playing throughout the night, which is a lot of fun. Bronson Reed won a squash match. Io Shirai came out to challenge Toni Storm, but I think it looks like the next program she's getting is her versus Mercedes Martinez, which should be fun. I think that's going to be interesting because it feels like they have high hopes for Mercedes.
Yeah.
So they're going to put her with Io to kind of polish her up a little bit. Right.
Yeah. And Io's great. So perfect person for that.
Yeah. We had Leon Ruff versus Timmy Thatcher. Leon Ruff gets an out of nowhere roll up for the win. Tommaso Ciampa saves him. Do you think they're putting Leon Ruff in a position that they would have had for Leo Rush?
I keep thinking that, and I think it's because the names are similar and they're both the same size. I don't know the answer. I don't know anything about how they came up with the Leon Ruff storyline. That came out of nowhere. So I don't know if it was something that was planned or it was just like a at the moment planning.
Yeah, Tyler Rust versus one of the Daivaris. Tyler Rust wins. It looks like they're very high on Tyler Rust, it's going to be interesting to see where this goes.
A good head of hair on that kid, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what Pop do. I know.
Yeah, that's Pop me. That's what I look
Velveteen,
for.
Velveteen Dream and Adam Cole closed out the night with Cole winning with the last shot. But this kind of makes way for New Year's Evil, which is their end of the year show or beginning of the year show, if I'm right about that.
Beginning
Am
of
I
the
wrong
year.
About
yeah.
That?
No, beginning. Okay. It's on the 6th. Yeah.
Hosted by Dexter Lumis, right?
Yep. Velveteen is very interesting. If you see, he's lost almost everything.
Since
everything. I mean, that's all he does is just lose the matches. So I think they're either doing this to either they're done with him and this is it at this point. Like he's just either gonna lose until the contract's over and they'll release him, or they are going to have him go away and then rebrand. But I don't know. That's a whole separate situation. New Year's Evil card as of now. Hosted by Dexter Lumis. NXT title match, Kyle O'Reilly, Finn Balor, going to be an unbelievable match. Last woman standing match, Rhea Ripley, Raquel Gonzalez. A fight pit of Tommaso Ciampa versus Timothy Thatcher. And Karrion Kross with Scarlett versus Damian Priest. These are all really good matches. Pay-per-view level matches.
Absolutely.
That they're giving away on TV.
I kind of want to touch on the Velveteen thing really quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
I had it on last night, and then my wife goes, "That's the Velveteen guy, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And she's like, "What happened to him?" You know, because like he just it's like the whatever was behind him and whatever aura that he projected
gone.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, personally, I'm sure he feels that way too. You know.
Yeah. Hey.
AEW last night went on after the NBA game. And it almost went into overtime. My God, we were in a text message with MG Geek, our producers, right? MG Geek and Jonathan. And we were in a text group because I wanted to watch it because I knew I wouldn't have time this morning to sit there and watch it. And we need to do a show. So I sat there. I'm like, okay, you know what? It's 10 o'clock. I actually wasn't tired whatsoever. My wife came home late because she was doing some stuff. And we were watching and having a glass of wine. And I'm like, I'm watching an NBA game. I'm like, my God, if these freaking people go into overtime. It actually was an unbelievable game. But
oh yeah,
it didn't go into overtime. And it goes right into Chris Jericho coming out. And do you know, personally, I got like 4 or 5 messages from people saying, oh my God, what happened to Chris Jericho? And apparently Twitter exploded of people that have not watched wrestling, apparently, in like 10 to 15 years. That have no idea what AEW is. They have no idea that there's another company. They think Chris Jericho still looks like Chris Jericho of the 2000s. And they were just ragging on him and AEW. My God.
Oh, my God. NBA Twitter ripped Chris Jericho a new booty hole.
But you know what, though? You know what's interesting? I find it fascinating that this was the... I guess this is the first time that they had a lead in like the NBA, and it should be a big lead in. There should be at least 2 million people that watch that game. 1.8 million, whatever, 2 million. Those were, I don't know if that's a good sign or not. Those are the P3s that we're talking about when we talk about viewership. These are the guys that maybe watched wrestling 20 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, and they haven't checked in at all. Like they are done with it, right? They were fans of John Cena when they were kids, and now it's gone. I don't know how this is going to translate. I'm very curious. I hate dwelling on the ratings, but I am curious if that plays a factor in the coming weeks.
You never know. I think I think there's going to be a holdover because it seems like from what I gathered on social media yesterday, people were watching to kind of make fun of it a little bit, like the NBA Twitter, like that crossover. Of the shock, the people who had the shock of seeing Chris Jericho, wanting to know what this new wrestling is, and I feel like a lot of those people kind of stuck with it. So I feel like there's going to be like a bump in the numbers this week. Even though the show was on at 10 o'clock, I had to keep my eyes open with like a vice yesterday.
Hey, listen, it and a lot of people are like, oh, you see, even basketball fans hate AEW. I'm like, listen, dude. Who cares? It's Twitter. It doesn't matter. I got to tell you, Twitter really does not matter in the long scheme of things at all. People are watching, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter for Raw. It doesn't matter for WWE. It doesn't matter for anybody. People like to heckle people, and that's what it is. I thought, though, the fact that they had so much buzz is a positive, which is interesting to see. I thought that match went on a little long. Top Flight, they really did a good job at profiling a lot of the younger guys, which they need to. Chris Jericho and MJF defeated Top Flight. These guys are great. The Martin brothers. Very good. Very, very good.
Dude. Very good. Super good.
Yeah.
They're awesome. The sky's the limit for them. Also, one of them looks like John Cena.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. The lighter skin one.
Yeah.
Yeah. MJF gets the pin. I'm very hopeful for those guys. I think they're going to have some really good matches in that tag division because AEW has a very solid tag division. We also had a teaser for Hager and Wardlow next week. Sting came out and cut a promo, did an unbelievable impersonation of Dusty Rhodes, which I posted on our Twitter and on our Instagram. If you head on over to Instagram.com/MattMenPodcast, you can check it out there. Great job with the Dusty impersonation. We're going to paint you up, baby. You know, he did the whole thing.
Dude,
so good.
How good was that?
Yeah, really good.
Isn't it weird how, like, who knew, right? Like, I feel like Sting was never really known for his promos. Give this guy, like, older Sting now. He's not doing a bad job.
He's better
man.
Now and, than he was then.
And WWE was, like, just hang out in the shadows and then lose to Triple H.
Lose everything. Yeah, he lost to Triple H, and he lost to Seth Rollins.
Very interesting.
There you go.
Very, very
and there you go. And that was Sting's run in WWE. TNT Championship match set up for January 6th with Darby Allin and Brian Cage. Dark Order versus Jurassic Express. Jurassic Express won. FTR with Tully promo setting up a match for January 6th. Great promo. Kenny Omega Don Callis promo in the hotel was very good.
So good.
I You want to talk about improved promo. Kenny Omega was never known as a promo guy. He has very much found his character in this version of him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we were talking about this in the group chat yesterday, too, about how his promo delivery is very interesting because it's not the typical, like, and then on Friday, I'm going to come and do this. But what did you do to me? The matter of fact of the matter is he's just talking, you know, and it makes him. I like how he's kind of like a jilted nerd almost.
Yeah.
You know, and at the end of that promo, giving the Phoenix stats, where he's like, you dropped the ball, man. Like, you got all the talent in the world, but you can't follow through.
Hey, did we see, weren't we supposed to see, and maybe I'm wrong, because I was told this, that Impact, people from Impact were going to show up on AEW this week?
You know, I feel like that was kind of mentioned, and then that
It was, right? I'm not going crazy.
Yeah, I think
Tony Khan mentioned it.
Yeah. But, you know, listen, we were hoping for kind of like a couple of cool run-ins, but
maybe next week
I kind of have a feeling that we're going to see Deonna Purrazzo.
Oh, that's interesting. I hope so. Yeah, she's very good.
I think we're going to get some kind of Deonna Purrazzo, Sheeta, Serena Deeb thing happening.
I'm into that. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be really awesome.
Pac returned to action, winning over the Butcher. So we're going to see. I mean, obviously, Pac is going to play a part in this Kenny Omega feud with Phoenix and Pac. And then it'll probably be Phoenix and Omega. Then it'll be Pac and Omega. They'll do that on TV leading up to whatever the pay-per-view is going to be. Eddie Kingston on commentary back and forth with Tony Schiavone was great during that match. Wedding announcement for Kip Sabian and Penelope with Miro. Beach break February 3rd. Dustin Rhodes defeated Evil Uno. Dark Order attacked after the match. Sean Spears cut a nice work shoot promo talking about WWE and everything, and maybe it is him, and he's off TV for a little bit. They're going with that. Sheeta defeated Alex Garcia. Abaddon interrupted the match and bit Sheeta in the neck, and she started bleeding everywhere.
She looks nuts.
Oh, yeah. Abaddon is nuts. I like it.
Yeah, Abaddon looks completely bonkers. I think they really worked it in her favor this time. You know, they knew how to shoot her. Her makeup looks bananas. I think that's a good. That's gonna be a good mini feud for Hikaru Shida.
Yeah. And the main event was the Young Bucks versus the Acclaimed. Very competitive back and forth match. See, this is why I thought we would get some sort of run in. I whatever reason, I was like, you know what? Maybe this is when the Good Brothers show up. Right? With Kenny, and they do something. Maybe they almost cost the Young Bucks the match. Because we don't know how the Young Bucks and Kenny are connected right now, right? Kenny is doing his own thing, which is cool. So that was AEW TV from last night. Guys, before we go into all the miscellaneous news, also, and the big story here that we're going to talk about, I want you guys to do us a favor. Hit the subscribe button. We're everywhere podcasts are available. We're on YouTube. You can subscribe to us there. Subscribe to us on podcast form anywhere. And, of course, you could head on over to patreon.com/MattMentPodcast and fund us there as little as $1 per episode. It goes a very long way. That's the reason why we do these watch-alongs, guys. We've been doing them almost, I think we only missed a couple of them this year for, like, family stuff. But other than that, we've been doing a lot of these watch-alongs and bonus stuff. I think we did the most shows we've ever done this year.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever done, I think we did like 70 shows, more than that. Yeah, probably 70 shows, which is pretty cool.
Sure, let's say 70.
Yeah, let's go with 70. Do you want to go into the miscellaneous stuff and then the questions, or do you want to go into the big story?
Let's go into the big story.
All right,
do some miscellaneous and then take some questions.
So, so here's the big story here, boys and girls, if you guys are ready for this. So we've been doing a show for like 9 years, right? About 9 years, 2011. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be 10 years.
Yeah.
Mid, I believe it was after the pipe bomb. So when was the pipe bomb? July. It was summer 2011. So I think we started the first show. I think the first show was like November-ish. And then we changed the setup in 2012. And then we were continuing. So we're about to hit 11 years here. And the show has gone through so many different versions, right? We had a third mic. John was on the show with us. Not this John, different John. That was the first version of the show. Actually, the first version was just us. Then we had John on. Then it became just us doing a solo thing. And we always want to think about what's next for the show. And we've always said, if the show gets boring, if the show sucks, we end it, right? That's always been the conversation that we've always had. If we're Absolutely. Not feeling this anymore, we're not going to continue doing it. And right. Luckily for all of us, we love doing the show. This sure. is really a highlight of my day, of my week, doing the show with Rich. You know, Rich and I have known each other for 20-something years. And over the last 10 years, we've gotten even closer. We've been doing the show, weekly, and it's a lot of work. And we were really thinking about what the next level for this show is. You know, what's the next step for the community and the show and everything that's going on? And we have a huge announcement starting on January 7th of 2021. Matt Men will be part of the Wrestling Observer family. We're going to be on the Figure Four online website, along with the Observer website, obviously. Moving forward, this is the plan. They are right now. This show is going to go on there as is, right? Don't expect changes. Don't expect things to be different, right? Because that's always the first thing that people are afraid of. Something changes. But Brian and I, we've known each other for years. I have great admiration for Dave and him. They do great stuff on there. They have like 20 different shows. And I think they're looking to kind of expand a little bit of what they're doing there. And, the relationship we've always had has been great. And, you know, we were approached by two other sites. Let me just start off by saying that. Two other major websites out there. I don't want to name names. I don't want to go into it. I don't want to make this into like a thing of like it was a bidding war. It wasn't. We were considering one. And, I reached out and I was like, hey, what do you guys think? And immediately the answer was, we would love to do something like that. And so right now what we're going to be doing is putting the show on there for free, not behind a paywall. Nothing is different. The content's on their website. Eventually, probably very, very sooner than later, we will be doing an extra show possibly on there. We're still talking about and trying to figure it out. That is a Wrestling Observer exclusive. That is behind their product and on there. There's some other stuff that I'm not going to, it's still fresh and nothing crazy yet, but there is a lot more we're going to be doing. This is just the first step of this. It's the first step of, you know, growing the community, growing the show, growing the product. I felt that, you know, I love doing it like this, but I think that we're doing a disservice for the show and the viewers by kind of limiting ourselves. You know, because it comes to that point, and I always say this, like, it comes to the point that, like, we're having so much fun doing this, right? We always have. And, yeah, we make money from this. It's great. Mm-hmm. We put it in our pocket. We buy our beers. We buy our drinks. We go out to lunch. You know, it's our extra stuff. And we're not doing, this move has nothing to do with financial gains or anything. That's not the reason. But I just felt that it was time. And Rich, too, right? We've been talking about this for a while.
Absolutely.
It was time that we do something totally different, you know, take a big change to the product as far as, you know, the branding and recognition. And I think this is it. Who better than, you know, Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer to kind of help us along that way.
Absolutely. Big thanks to those guys. And also, you know, like Andrew started out like he started out very good on like a tease, you know, like how long we've been doing this. It could sound like we were splitting up or ending the podcast. It's the opposite, actually. I think I could speak for Andrew when I say, like, in the last couple of months, like, we've really worked extra hard to put out content, have like a more concise show. MG Geek has helped us tremendously. Jonathan has helped us tremendously too, because we really love doing this and really, we really love interacting with you guys.
Listen, and Suncast too. Let me just put it out there for Suncast too, because he really is the admin of this.
Absolutely. Suncast also, big shout out to Suncast. And the cool thing, we had a nice long hard talk about this, and the cool thing with what's coming in the future, in the immediate future, is you're going to get the same show, except it's going to be a little bit better and a little bit tighter, and then you're going to see some more cool stuff down the line. You're not going to lose any of the wacky. You might get more.
Listen, watch along still happening. Matt Men After Dark, when we do it, it'll still happen. This show is going to stay the way it is. And then we're going to do some other stuff to go forward. But listen, I have a big thing, and I I sometimes feel like people say, will look at it like, well, you know, you guys are jumping ship, but nothing's different. Listen, I'm big on controlling my product and my universe.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And it should just say, like, I trust Brian. I trust them to be able to put our show on there because of their track record. So to put it out there, I feel like this is a tremendous move for us. I think this is great for the community. I think this is going to be great for the show. And I'm hoping to, you know, keep growing this. The next 10 years should be fun. I'll be 47 by then. I'll be 47. Oh, Rich will be like 280.
I'm 272 right now.
Rich will be 21 and I'll be 30. I'll be 47 in 10 years. So that's the big story here. Starting January 7th. Actually, what we were thinking about doing is that we could have done it now, but I didn't know the graphics would be ready. We're still tweaking it. Like, the lower third needs to change a little bit. The graphics are going to be more visual. This is just a new, this is just like a new trial, I guess, of the graphics, which I absolutely love. Jonathan did a great job at it. So we are, there's so much going on this year. There's going to be so much going on. The shows, listen, for you, it's going to be more consistent because now there's accountability, right? So that's the good thing. Yeah.
It's going to be great. Listen, yeah. Like, I'm really looking forward to it. Congrats to you.
Congrats to you.
Thank you, sir. It's been fun, and it's going to get more fun. And I hope you guys are going to stick along for the ride. And it's not going to be the fans of them like knocking down our door. It's going to be our fans knocking down their door.
Yeah. Yes. I hope so. Jonathan, by the way, a little side talk here. Look, I'm going to do the old school Howard thing and start talking about the back end stuff. Jonathan, could you make a little graphic for, like, Matt Man comes to the Wrestling Observer or something like that, that we could I could put out there when I tweet this out in like in an hour? Thank you. So that's the big news, guys. I'm you know, this is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we'll see what happens here. Let's go into all the other stuff, right? Miscellaneous stories, obviously, sad news. Kevin Green passed away. Kevin Green, unbelievable football, a football artist, I was going to say.
Oh, boy.
A footballer. I really, you know what? It is the Observer talk, because Brian does not know football, if you ever listen to him. So I think it's now seeped in. Kevin Green, unbelievable football player, had a very short run in WCW. But my God, you know what? You know what's really funny? I remember watching Kevin Green in WCW. I think he only had like two or three matches. Never really had a lot of matches. He was still playing football while he was in WCW. And he had a match with Flair. And I think Mongo, he like attacked Mongo. I got to go back. But I remember Kevin Green, and I was always impressed by him. They did a good job of protecting him. So unfortunately, he passed away age 58. SmackDown ratings on FS1, 1.030 million. They did actually very good. 1 million views on FS1, and nobody knew that they were on FS1. So, good sign there. We have a Raw Legends Night coming up January 4th. So, this is interesting, right? Here are the legends announced. Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Kurt Angle, Torrey Wilson, and Beth Phoenix. Also advertised, Sergeant Slaughter, Carlito, Mickey James, Tatanka, the Native American Tatanka, IRS, Michael P.S. Hayes, and Alicia Fox on Legends Night. So... We were talking about this. I don't know if it was you or I was talking to somebody else. But my God, you know what they got to do? You want to get a, like, obviously this is a ratings pop to pop the angles that they're shooting, right? You're going to bring Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair. People are going to tune in, and then they're going to watch the angles that you're doing, so you better do a good job. Here's what I would do. I would say Raw gets a little bit of attitude. Forget about calling it Legends Night or Old School Night. Raw gets attitude, and you change everything. You do the Attitude Era font, the ring ropes go to red, you do a big pyro opening, do the Attitude Era intro with updated guys. People do this for fun on YouTube. Bring the announce table where it's supposed to be. Do the whole thing. Say Raw gets attitude, and shoot your hot angles. Do the best job that you can, and pop that rating. I'm telling you right now, what would draw a better rating? Raw going back to Attitude Era, and you could do something cool. First hour is PG, second hour goes to PG-14.
Do something different.
Think outside the box. I'm telling you, more people would be drawn to this than seeing Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, and Kurt Angle with Torrey Wilson and Beth Phoenix showing up.
Yeah, it's fine that they're doing it great. You know, like, I have no problem that they're bringing out these guys for try to like pop the ratings a little bit, but how much time and how much time is everybody going to get? You know, like the Undertaker retirement segment got me a little worried about that as a fan, because you had the intro to all these awesome dudes coming out, right? Savio Vega, Godfather. They stood in the ring for 2 seconds. Mick Foley, Kevin Nash. They stood in the ring for 2 seconds, cut to commercial, came back. Undertaker was there, and that was it. You know, so like, is Hogan going to be in a backstage segment and look at the camera and say, "Oh no, Poppy"?
You know, Poppy. You know what? I want the Fiend to return. You want to end the Fiend's career? The Fiend shows up, gets into Hulk Hogan's face. Hulk Hogan looks at him, rips his shirt off, and goes, "Oh no, Poppy."
Oh, so good. That's the end of Raw, right there.
That's the end of Raw. That's how you end all of wrestling. Wrestling's over. By the way, submit your questions. Get your questions ready and submit them. We're going to be answering them in about 2 minutes. It could be also about the going over to the Observer website. Let's see. Royal Rumble date made official for January 31st. So I'm actually surprised by this date. Do you know why?
Why?
They've gone to the they normally don't run that. They run the 23rd. So I think what they're doing is buying themselves an extra week, with the hopes that there's going to be some sort of change to have people in that building, or have more people in that building.
You think so?
I spoke to someone yesterday, and they alluded to that. You know, that they were saying that the goal has always been, I mean, first of all, the goal was to have a live crowd in July, right? That was happening. And then Florida just got really bad. And then the goal was September, and then it was November. And things just kind of spiraled in the fourth quarter for, you know, people getting this. So right now they are playing with the idea that they could have some people in that building. Listen, it's Florida. AEW has had a tremendous amount of people there compared to previous weeks. The Buffalo Bills for their playoff game, I believe July 9th, are going to have like 6,800 people there, because our governor here in New York wants to go to a football game. So he's deciding that he wants to have people in that building. So I think possibly by January 31st, you know, maybe things are going to turn around a little bit, and they're going to be able to say, okay, you know what? Maybe we could have a couple thousand people here, 2,000 people in that giant building. It's an outdoor stadium, so they could do it. SmackDown match is scheduled to air Christmas Day. We have spoilers here. So I'm not going to go into the wins and losses, but I'll tell you the matches. Great. Charlotte and the Raw Women's Champion Asuka will defend their tag team championship against an opponent to be announced. Intercontinental Championship match, Sami Zayn defends against Big E. WWE Universal Championship, Roman Reigns defends against Kevin Owens in a steel cage match, brother. So that's the big I heard, because MG Geek was in the audience, so I'm not going to go into the full spoilers here, which he has for me, but I recommend watching it. It was cool. Stardom will have a match on night two at Wrestle Kingdom, which we got to talk about Wrestle Kingdom again this year, but it's not going to be announced if it will be on the show. They made some changes to their Wrestle Kingdom lineup. I don't know if MG Geek has it or not. Also, we have the end of year Mat Men Awards coming up. I'm going to post a link in the chat room. Be sure to go there and vote, because this is pretty cool how MG Geek did this. I recommend you guys check it out. So it's a Mat Men End of Year Awards, and here's how it goes. The first award, it's going to be called the Grape Ayaz Akhtar Biggest Draw of the Year. You have Bailey, Roman, Kenny, Moxley, Seth. It's a tremendous amount of people on there, so I'm not going to go with it. But you had the Grape Ayaz Akhtar Biggest Draw of the Year. You had Men's Wrestler of the Year. You have the Women's Wrestler of the Year. You have Rich and Andrews Best Tag Team of the Year. Tony Soprano's Tough Guy Award. Bruce from Connecticut, Holy S Moment of the Year. I Have a Boner Match of the Year. Shit in My Laundry Basket, Worst Segment or Match of the Year. 2020 COVID Special Best Cinematic Presentation Match, which we had a tremendous amount. I think people don't realize how many we had here. We had the Boneyard Match, Stadium Stampede, Backlot Brawl, Money in the Bank, Corporate Ladder Match. We had the Firefly Funhouse Match. We had Tooth and Nails, Elite Deletion, and the Wyatt Swamp. And we had more. We had the bar fight between Jeff and Sheamus, and the one final beat, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. The Intern Deacon Loser of the Year, MG Geek Almost Died Return of the Year, Andrew versus the Persian Potato Best Feud, By the way, that thing started COVID. I'm positive. It was that freaking potato. My Persian potato, yeah. And Sean and Lakeisha's breakout star. So these are all, you could go to that link that we posted, and also we'll have it in the show notes, the link, and you can go there and vote for your best moments of the year. All right, guys, let's do our Q&A. Submit your questions in the chat room. Rich is going to read them because I don't know how to read. I don't know if you guys know this.
I think hopefully now with 2021, we can get Andrew the help he needs to teach him how to read.
Yeah, I'm actually blind as a bat. That's the biggest problem. I can't see anything in the chat.
Should we start introducing you as the illiterate Andrew Zary?
The illiterate. The illiterator.
Jamie Coy asks, why do you think WWE tried to trademark the Collective away from GCW, the largest indie event each year? Oh, I can't read either.
It's contagious, dude. I don't know. I don't know if they even listen. This is going to sound really stupid to wrestling fans. Okay, I don't think WWE even is aware that when they went to trademark it. That would be my guess, unless they're looking to work with them or something. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know what they trademark a whole lot of stuff. It could just be a coincidence, but it also could be that they have no clue.
Well, also, wasn't Cody using that also as the Nightmare Collective or something?
There was
something with that. Also, I saw a commercial for Raw that had the T2 music. And one of the graphics said that the show has to be impactful. So I feel like, I don't know if I'm reading into it too much, but is that a dig on the whole Impact Kenny Omega thing?
You know, I don't know, but I've asked about, like, not that specific thing, but like other things. And they kind of tell me that the company's so large that, like, and a lot of people aren't into wrestling. It's just like something that somebody maybe said, and someone gets the approval to do it without thinking that it's going on.
Oh, I got a good question here.
Yeah.
Did you guys have any terms for jobbers when you were kids, like calling them wimpy guys?
Oh, yeah. I probably did with my cousins. Maybe they're losers. I don't know.
They've always been scrubs. I've always been scrubs. Like these scrubs over here.
You know what? Let me just say something here. That Collective trademark thing, because it's GCW, it is possible there's something going on there. Because years ago, I heard when they did that WWE show in New York, I was told that WWE rented that hall that GCW ran everything in, and they were paying for it. And that's why there's a lot of heat with Janela, because they thought Janela was heading over there.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is years ago, so I don't even remember if that's as factual. I gotta just follow up with that. So maybe there's something there.
Shin's got a question.
Yeah.
Shin, what's going on? Hope you're doing all right. Why wasn't Baron Corbin in Wrestler of the Year? I smell collusion.
Oh, MG Geek. Tell MG Geek that.
He's starting a chat room feud with Shin right now.
Yeah, good. Let them fight. Shin will bite his face off.
Jim Castro, who is the big return? Who is the big return of blank wrestler in 2021? So who's going to be the big return? Fill in the blank.
Edge, that's one. Brock Lesnar, that's two. Okay. I would expect Cena, that's three.
We get Punk.
You know what? Let's have fun. I'm going to say yes. We're going to see CM Punk do something with wrestling in 2021.
Yes.
Well, it depends. I don't, because of COVID, I don't know. I would have said The Rock, but now that's kind of in the air because we don't know what's happening with WrestleMania in front of a live audience. I would say it's either going to be The Rock or CM Punk as a huge return back.
I'm going to say half-filled arena, Chicago, live crowd, CM Punk.
Okay. Cool guess.
So he can just walk over and then walk over from his house. Where do you think Ethan Page and Davey Boy Smith Jr. sign?
I don't know why Davey's not in WWE right now. I find that interesting. Ethan Page, I mean, listen, we just interviewed his tag partner, Josh Alexander. Available right now on podcast. But
great guy. Could,
yeah, really great guy. And I mean, the amount of work that Ethan Page has put in over the last 2 years in reinventing himself has been unbelievable. First time I saw him was probably in Evolve sometime in 2016, 2017. And this dude was great then, and he was still new. I witnessed him murder Darby Allin multiple times. He picked Darby Allin up. So if you've gone to Evolve or you watched it on the network when they're in LaBoom in Queens, there's a dais, right? That some of the seats are elevated. It's like a dais. From the dais, he gorilla pressed him and threw him into the into the ring post.
Yeah, he manhandled him.
He manhandled him.
Who knows? I mean, like, wrestling is such a great open landscape right now that he could end up anywhere. And it proves that even if you stay where you are, you have the opportunity to end up somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think WWE will take advantage of this new mindset of pro wrestling and actually say, hey, open invite, why don't your champion show up to Raw? Because it'll pop their ratings.
You know what? Here's a question for you in the audience, right? Like, let's play what if. You think if Tony Khan called WWE, he's like, listen, you want Kenny on the show? I'll give you one match, take Kenny, have the title on. I don't care if he wins or loses. Just don't embarrass him. You think they would say, okay, let's do this?
I think they would say deny it and go full steam ahead with whatever nonsense
that they would normally do.
I honestly, like, imagine if the main event on a SmackDown or a Raw was Kenny Omega versus Roman Reigns.
Kenny Omega, I mean, listen, that's a dream match, right? That nobody wanted to see a year ago, and now they do. Which says a lot. You know, WWE's done a great job at fixing the character.
But you don't think it'll ever happen, or do you think maybe in 10 years something like that'll happen?
I'm very curious what AEW does with these weird bridges and alliances. You know, I think, you know, as we know, WrestleMania is the biggest wrestling show of the year, but there's something to be said about if there was a collective of all the top promotions in North America and Japan coming together and putting on a mega show in a major stadium. Could they draw it? Could there be a 65,000 person wrestling event in North America that is not WWE? I don't think today.
Okay.
I don't think that's a possibility. You know, there was a lot of speculation on what AEW could have done with that first big show. They sold, you know, the queue was tremendous. There is an argument to be had that they could have ran a much larger show. I don't think a lot of those people were accurate. You know, I was in that queue to get tickets, and I never even intended on getting it. I just wanted to see what the queue was like. So I think some of that comes into play, but there is something to be said about a 40,000 person show involving New Japan, Impact, NWA, and AEW. You know, that would be, that really is the concept of All In.
Absolutely.
That's what
And kind of like that even trickled down to that New Japan Ring of Honor show that happened, you know, after Kenny and the Bucks and Cody, and after the Elite left, I guess, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
Let's see. You want to go do another question?
Yeah, let's do another one.
Josh asks, so what did I miss?
Josh said, what did he miss? The big announcement.
Let's see. We're going to skip Josh's question. Josh fell asleep. Hit the world's greatest frat boy party too hard last night.
The world's greatest frat boy. He was a frat boy.
From Brandon, do you think Marty Scurll resurfaces in 2021 and where?
He's still in the contract with Ring of Honor. So possibly NWA, possibly Ring of Honor. And then, I mean, the plan was that he was going to be on AEW. That was the plan. It last November. So that kind of fell apart. So I don't know, man. I think something weird's going on between AEW and him. Remember I told you that they were really pissed off at the first All-In show that he went long with Okada?
Fair enough.
And then the main event got ruined, that they had to just wrap it up, which kind of sucks.
Fair enough. Jim Castro asks, when does The Undertaker get into the Hall of Fame? I'm guessing they wait until they do it with a live audience.
Yeah, definitely with a live audience. You know, now they're a year behind, so that entire class of 2020 is going to be the class of 2021. So you get that done with, and then now you're 2022, and yeah, probably maybe 2022, 2023, put them in. Where's the next big WrestleMania? Yeah, definitely 2022, 2023. They're definitely going to LA next, and then Vegas. So either one of those. Oh, there is, by the way, another part of the story. Sorry, Rich, you just reminded me. Ric Flair in an interview kind of alluded that they are building a WWE Hall of Fame. Like an actual Hall of Fame.
How, you got to take that with a grain of salt, though.
I think it is happening. I think they're going to do it in Orlando.
Okay. Are we going to go visit it?
Yeah, let's go. Me and you.
Bob Hazelwood in the chat asks, are the Von Erichs going to move to AEW or WWE in 2021, or are they going to be, satisfied with MLW?
It depends how serious they are about it. I don't know what the interest level is. I know the WWE was looking at them. I don't know what AEW's interest level, but that's a great get, the legacy of the Von Erichs. But I'm not sure how full-time they are. You know, same thing with, like, you know what's amazing, though? Like, think about, like, in the 2000s, we got to see, like, Ted DiBiase Jr. was in WWE. Didn't go anywhere, right? Good worker. Really good worker. Didn't go anywhere. You had, I mean, all these guys. Lacey Von Erich was an Impact for a long time, you know? So, I don't know. I'm very curious what they do with them, because you don't want to waste them, because they're very good, but they're still new to this. So I would say stay in MLW for a little bit, you know?
I think so too. I think, again, the landscape is changing. I think it could change even more when we get more live crowds, or when the states open up just like a little bit, you know?
Yeah. What else do we have?
Let's see. Derek asks, could Jon Favreau write better storylines for the WWE? Absolutely.
Jon Favreau did a great movie with, who was the one that played Jean Grey in the X-Men franchise, the original one?
Famke Janssen.
Okay. Jon Favreau had a like a romance, like drama comedy called Love and Sex that he was in. And that was the first time I saw Jon Favreau. That's the only thing I could think of Jon Favreau. Like, the whole Marvel thing makes no sense to me. That's all I see him as. But it was interesting that his counterpart in the movie was Jean Grey, which is fascinating.
Oh, also, you're not a big Star Wars guy, because he totally took charge of that franchise.
Okay, I got to tell you, I am a fan of The Mandalorian. As older as I've gotten, I could appreciate Star Wars more. I don't get the cult hood behind anything like that.
Do you mean that's my only you don't get why it's so popular, or you don't get why people go so nuts for it?
Why people go so nuts for it. Like, it's fine. It's a great movie. They're fine. I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you something. I feel bad. I really do, for myself, that I'm not as into Star Wars as I should be.
Me too. I feel bad for you. That's what I feel
does that,
bad
does
for
that
you
whack you out, about. Though? It's weird, right? Because I'm into all that stuff, except Star Wars.
You know what? Your reasonings make it understandable why you don't really care for Star Wars, but I do feel bad for you as from a fan's perspective to be like, oh man, this guy doesn't know about Star Wars during Christmas.
When I was
like,
a kid, my father would put me in a Tiger box and force me to watch Star Wars on repeat. Return of the Jedi was on for like 20 hours straight a day.
What a great movie. We had that on all weekend.
By the way, I'm joking. I said that in a very serious way, and Rich didn't laugh. I'm joking, guys. It didn't happen.
No, I know. Jonathan's asking another question. Are you going to watch Wonder Woman?
Yes, I am. I am really into this. And people are telling me it's going to suck. I don't care. I'm really into this. I love the 80s aesthetic, and I think it's a great spin on the Wonder Woman character to see it take place in a different era.
It's going to be fun. Good cast, too.
Yeah, very good cast. All right, what else do we have? Last questions. See.
Yeah, let's take the last questions. When will PCO debut for AEW?
Hold on. Oh, my God. I got a cramp in my leg. Ooh, boy. Ooh. I need to eat a banana. I need some potassium. I don't know what they're doing with PCO. Do you know that his new thing is that he's like a judo grappler?
Get out of here.
Yeah, so he over quarantine, like, he's been training judo, and it's so bizarre. If you watch the last Ring of Honor show, like, he's doing, like, judo moves, also playing a monster. I found it so interesting to see him do that. It's like, remember when The Undertaker decided that he's going to become an MMA guy?
Yes.
It's like that.
No, you like he's gonna change his name to like Big Evil, like Big PCO.
Big PCO, yeah. I think a big question is gonna be, what's Ring of Honor gonna do in 2021?
Oh, we got a good question. We do have a good show. Bunker 707. Will the show also be on YouTube or just the Observer?
It will be on YouTube as well. Nothing has changed. Like, the way you consume the show, you're gonna consume it the same way. Nothing is changing with that. You're just also going to be able to watch it on the Wrestling Observer website on F4WOnline.com.
Yeah.
And then whatever we do with them moving forward, if it is a you know, like a Matt Men on the Observer, you know, exclusive, then that's going to be the, I mean, that's their show. You know, they're going to hire us to do that. So right now, this is more of a, you know, I don't like being forceful and be like, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. Let's see if this works. Let's see if we gel. Exactly. Listen, it could be very possible that, you know, Brian likes us, obviously. He wouldn't want to work with us. But also Tony over there. But you don't know. They could see us and be like, "You know what? They're not what we were looking for, and that's cool. I'm okay with that." And we could feel the same way too. We could be like, "Ah, maybe this isn't what we wanted." That's fine too, but I don't see that happening. I think this is going to be a really good relationship. But that's why it was important to kind of keep things the way that they are and not be like, hey, by the way, everything is going on there. We're shutting down this. See you guys later. It's not like that. You know, we've just, I want to let you guys know also something. About 2 years ago, we were offered a formal offer to be on the radio here in New York City, right? Major market radio. They wanted to take the show 2 hours a week on Sundays. Or was it Saturdays?
I think it was Saturdays.
And we would be doing the show. We could do it from here, but they also wanted us to go to the station and do it from there. This was a big package offer that they gave us. And Rich and I sat there and thought about it. And I didn't feel comfortable giving it away. And that is to my detriment, and that is to Rich's detriment, and I think he feels the same about this. It's not about getting paid to do this. Listen, making money is great. That's the extra, but the hard work we've put in, I would never want to say, hey, Rich, by the way, WABC now has the show. And we don't have any rights to it anymore. So if shit hits the fan, they don't like you, they don't like me, they can replace us and we're gone.
Or, you know, just kind of like the grim reality of something like that is, oh, hey, by the way, this is going to be work. Apart from like the work that we put into it, but it's going to be like, oh, here are the notes that you got today, et cetera, et cetera. I think the only note that we're going to get is going forward is what's all this reggae talk about?
What's all the reggae talk? I want to know about the reggae that you guys talk about.
What does it mean?
Listen, I think our track record speaks for itself. I think we've done a very good job at being normal human beings. We're not. I know it, but we're not. We're not malicious. We're not mean. We're not assholes. And we really enjoy the community aspect of this, and we love talking wrestling. Listen, it's not going to be for everybody. I'm sure we're going to get that, but nothing's for everybody. Some people love it. Some people don't. Whatever. So is Tubman Matt Prano's going to be on the Observer? No, we got to do that. That's all GFQ stuff. Right now, the only thing we're going to be doing is putting this on, and maybe in a couple of weeks, maybe we do, if things go well, we do a special show for them behind a paywall weekly, and then maybe do some other stuff. There is a radio element still playing in the mix here for me and Rich doing something else too. I think this is going to be a very interesting year for all of us. Did you really eat the Subway potato from the stranger, Brandon? I'm going to tell you something, and I swear on my children, I swear on everything that I love in my life, that is a legitimate story. That is a factual story. I ate a potato that a boiled potato that a Persian man handed me after telling me that his wife had just died. And he sat there and he watched me eat the potato. It was a boiled potato in a Ziploc bag. And he told me that for the last 45 years, that's what he has for breakfast every single day. A boiled potato. and he crushed it with his hands. He split it with his hands. He went like this, and he just handed me the potato. You know what? I would still eat it during COVID. I think that, I think that potato gave me magic powers. I think I'm able to manifest things now.
You're able to wear those booty shorts.
I'm able to wear these booty shorts because of the potato. Large 23 says, Matt Men community is the best wrestling community on the internet. I hope so, man. We try. I think everybody in this chat room right now, top to bottom, everybody busts each other's balls. Everybody's so respectful, though. I did get sick, but that's how I obtained my powers. You know, you gotta get sick a little bit. You know, when you drink an elixir that a witch gives you, if this is Game of Thrones and the witch is giving me something and I feel really terrible for like 2 months and then all of a sudden I have this ability, I would take that. I'm okay with it.
Dave D says the potato made Andrew the genie from Ben.
And Corey says, great logo. All right, guys. If that's it, guys, we're going to wrap it up here. So let's see what the schedule is next week before we wrap it up.
New shirts in the future.
Yes. So we have Jonathan did a great job with the logo. Suncast has a great shirt logo that he made us. That's going to go up in the next couple of weeks. Jonathan's working on a whole bunch of other stuff. Actually, I got to tell you, one champion, two people this year. And I'm not, you know, we bust balls here a lot. It's just the nature of how we are, but we do it in a very loving way. MG Geek has been a rock star over the last year for us, year and a half, more than that. He's been in the community for a long time, but the last year he's worked unbelievably hard at doing these notes, sending us the information. And Jonathan came out of nowhere. I had no idea he was a viewer for so many years. Came in the chat room and started doing the Photoshops, and now he's our graphic artist here. So and he's been an unbelievable asset to us, and I'm extremely grateful to both of those guys, Suncast too, and of course, obviously, Rich. Everybody knows how grateful I am to him. But these guys have really been a great force behind us, and really, I everything that we're talking about today, we're going to the Observer and doing a show there. A lot of that is attributed to them and their hard work here. So thank you to that, and you guys with the donations and everything. Really, Bob Hazel with $5 here. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and congrats on the Observer. We absolutely love you guys, and I know for Rich and myself, and I'm speaking for you a little bit, Rich. You love this.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I do love it.
Yeah, and you should be very proud of what you've accomplished here.
Same here. I think you should too. It's a lot of fun. I thank those guys too, Mr. Gonzo, Mrs. Gonzo, all the guys in the chat room, everybody keeping it cool and keeping it lively, and nobody bringing any kind of negative energy. I think that's what we've always strived for.
Yeah. Listen, and I'm all about the community. You know, Corey said, thanks for plugging the podcast this year. If you guys have a podcast, we always say, give me a link, man. Send it over. Let us talk about it. Not anymore. Now we got the big bucks. No, send it over because, you know, I know how difficult this is, and there's so much great talent out there. Top Rope Nation, great podcast that I've been on. I've been on a bunch of these, and I definitely want to help as much as I can. I told you that story. There was this one guy that told me to go F myself when I started doing a podcast, not this podcast, but in general, 12 years ago. And after that, I swore to myself, I would never do that to anybody else.
Yeah, straight up.
Never do that to anybody else. And I stick by that. You know, I don't care how bad your show is. If you want me to tell you, you know, what I see wrong or what I like, just send it. You know, and I'm not saying this because I'm better than you. I have the eyes and the experience of doing this for 12, 13 years. Engineering wise right. And stuff like that. So it's been a wild year, and I think next year is going to be really one of the best for us as a community and as a show. And I'm extremely grateful for each and every one of you. With that said, let's wrap it up next week. Rich, hold on. Next week, do you want to do New Year's Eve?
Show, yeah, hell yeah.
Okay, let's do a New Year's Eve show. And when do you want to do the year end awards?
Maybe Saturday. That Saturday.
Let's do Saturday the 2nd. All right.
Yeah, and so, then that way we can kind of, you know, it's the 2nd. The year's behind us. Okay. We can talk about the awards. We're gonna have MGG dressed in a diaper like the New Year's baby. Stop. He's gonna have a little baby bonnet, and he's gonna have a little rattle and a little sash that says 2021.
You know, I saw the visual.
And a pistol just for good measure.
In the diaper. All right, so we'll do the 31st next week and the 2nd for the year-end show, and then we got to do a prediction show. Yes. So this is what we'll do with the predict. Maybe we could kind of combine the two. We'll do our year-end special, and we'll do our predictions. So the way that we'll do the predictions is we want you guys to submit your prediction questions to us, and let's see if we're right. So we'll do that, right? Okay. Like, we'll do whatever. And then, obviously, we got Wrestle Kingdom coming up the following week.
You know what? I don't know if this is asking too much of everybody, but we've never done this. How would you feel about a 3 a.m. watch-along of Wrestle Kingdom?
You know, what day does it fall on this year?
You know, that groan told me everything I needed to know.
No. I'll tell you why. Because if I don't need to be in Manhattan, yeah, great.
It's the Wrestle Kingdom 15,
yeah,
which is kind of cool. I can't believe it's gone. January 4th and 5th. January 4th and 5th.
Monday and Tuesday. So it's Sunday into Monday and Monday into Tuesday. So Sunday at 3 a.m. on the 3rd. I don't know. Let's see. Let's see where my life leads me.
Sure.
And then Thursday, January 7th, we debut on the Wrestling Observer Figure 4 online website.
Beautiful.
So listen, guys. We'll see y'all next week. Next week is the last show of the year. Love each and every one of you. We'll see y'all next time. Peace, babies.